Hello, everybody, and welcome to another Book and a Chat with me, Barry.
Get up in the morning, sag a thing you do, put on the kettle, make a little brew, that'll do you. Tickety-boo. See you, Jimmy, don't you agree? Only one thing better than a nice cup of tea, and that'll be two. Tickety-boo. Blow away the cobwebs and stop yawning. A little cup and sorcery is magic in the morning, or in the afternoon, or in the evening too. Cheer yourself up, pour yourself a cup, tickety-boo.
Good evening, one and all. Yes, Wednesday, halfway through another week. And here I am, your host, Barry, on another Book and a Chat. Well, when we've had sort of people on this about entrepreneurs doing this, that and the other, and how they lived and found the American dream, and you know, they became this and did this, and 10 ways to make this better and everything like that. But then, what about the people who don't make it? What about the people who, despite everything they try and everything they do and everything they follow, perhaps don't find that American dream, don't get the sort of one item that could make them famous or something like that? Well, my guest today, he's giving us, as his book is called, a crash course. In other words, that tells us about some of these pitfalls, tells us about the pitfalls he fell in and what didn't work and everything like that. Something that perhaps most of us are more interested in than actually making it, because the numbers that make it are pretty small. Numbers that don't, like with authors and books, you know, the mistakes you make and how you can help other people avoid them. Anyway, I better introduce my guest today, haven't I? Because on the show today, I have the one and only Ricardo Jimenez. Hi, Ricardo. How you doing?
Hi, Barry. I'm doing great. I'm very happy to be in your show.
It's a pleasure to have you. I hope I got your last name right. I'm only going from the soccer player who plays for Wolves, I think. That's as close as I'm getting. Anyway, it's good to have you on the show. But as I said, there are a lot of books out there and a lot of people write about, you know, making it, finding the American dream, becoming the entrepreneur and everything like that. What made you have the courage, I guess, to try and share with people what didn't work?
Yes. So there's a couple of things here. I think most books that we see out there are exactly as you said, were written by people that had already made it. And there's not too many books about companies that did not succeed. So this is something that makes this book different. But the other big thing that makes this book different is that most books will tell you about, let's say, most entrepreneurship books, books for founders, books for business, they will talk about how to build a company, how to build a startup, how to build an area of the company, let's call it a finance, or how to talk to an investor, or how to do product market fit. So they give you, let's say, rules or lessons on developing what's called a part of the business. But they don't talk about the person who has to do those things, so right. The founder. And I think that's what makes this book different. It's very it's founder centric. I wrote it going back to the question. I wrote it for two reasons. I had a company for 6 years, and I will briefly describe that. We wanted to raise global kids, and we wanted to do that through toys in the shape of countries.
Okay.
And we did that. Our goal was to connect them through an app, perhaps eventually have a theme park. So when you're an entrepreneur, you have a great vision. But the company did not work as expected. And when entrepreneurs or anybody has a goal and they don't accomplish the goal, we generate emotions, emotions of confusion, of frustration, of loneliness. So what I do in this book is share my story, how I felt along the lines of the story of my company, but again, with the goal of this being a companionship book for founders. Mm-hmm. Again, not so much a how-to book or a to-do or a manual for startups, but a manual for founders. I think that's what makes this book different.
Right. I mean, you could have kept quiet about this whole story, you know, and everything like that. And to me, you know, it's a pretty brave thing to sort of share your failures. And like you were just saying, why you actually sort of did it to people.
But right. Yeah.
Go ahead.
There were a couple of reasons, yeah, because no, so I think there's a feeling when we look back at something that didn't work, with a little bit of space, with a little bit of room. I think there was healing for me in looking at those bad moments, those challenges, those times in which I felt lost, with a little bit of distance. So there was a healing part, but more than anything, I knew that the experience that I had was very common for lots of founders. And I thought it was a story that had to be told, because I was writing for the person that I was a few years before. I knew exactly what I was writing for. It was this young founder, late 20s or early 30s, who's being a founder for the first time, and maybe not even the first time, but even the first time in their family. So it could be a first generation thing, and there's lots of things that we don't know. And we forget about ourselves. We are so concerned on making our startup work that we end up forgetting about ourselves. So I wanted to reclaim the individuality, the humanity, and talk about those aspects that are not so often talked about, like emotions.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. As you say about the finding about yourself, because the stress you must go through, mental, physical, you know, relationship, what have you, when you do this, when you feel you're fighting against something, you're doing everything that you think is right, everything that you've been told to follow this, that, and the other, and it's just not happening, it's just not working, and the stress that you must have been under at that time must have been extraordinary.
Yes, that's you're bringing me back to reliving how it was. But again, so there's a part of me in which I felt this stress, and I remember very often that sometimes I spent mornings in which I wasn't very productive, not because of a lack of will, but because I was paralyzed. And I just didn't, I wanted to talk about me, but in a way that I knew founders could relate to the story. I wanted to be the mirror for other founders, other business owners to see themselves through my story. Because yes, I'm not the only person in this world who's had stress. I think lots of us have it. I do think that the stress of the founders, it's exponential, because you're putting, I'd say, a lot of your capital, all your energy, all your time, all your hopes. And unless you deliver, meaning unless you sell your product or find capital, the company is going to die. So it's not like you could relax because someone else in your big company is going to figure something out and you can go coasting. No, it's like the company is in your hands. Either you deliver or the company dies. So yeah, it's an incredible amount of pressure.
Oh, indeed. What's the number one mistake you think you made as a founder?
I think that there's a couple. What I like to say, the more technical mistake was that I fell in love with the idea and I went ahead and wanted to see it in the world, no matter what. I did not pay too much attention for market research. and I didn't question very much what I was doing. And the second part that it took me perhaps until the middle of my entrepreneurial journey to realize is that, again, when our expectations are not met, we generate these emotions that paralyze us, and we just want to get more traction with our company. We want to meet our company's milestones as a way to save us from what we're feeling, because we have this pressure that we need to deliver, we need to get traction, we need to generate those revenues, we need to meet those goals. But we forget that if we have all these emotions in our bodies, we are looking for external solutions for our well-being when the first place that we need to be looking at is ourselves. And we tend to treat ourselves, people, as black boxes, and there is so much that goes within them that gets ignored. And at some point in my entrepreneurial journey, I realized that, no, I need to take care of myself because I am the one driving this.
Right.
And if I'm not feeling well, the decisions I'm going to make are not going to be great. The conversations I'm going to have are not going to be as clear. My confidence is going to be lower. So even though you end up doing it, let's say, for the wrong reasons, for your company's success rather than just for you as an end of itself, you still need to take care of yourself. And it's so easy to ignore how we feel because, again, all our attention is on making, let's say, external achievements.
Right. In your book, Crash Course, A Founder's Journey mm-hmm. to Saving Your Startup and Sanity, you do go into what it's like to, you know, pour your heart and soul in the passion and even financial resources into trying to get this dream, this vision, and to fail at it. That's something that people never share. And the fact that you've been able to share it in this book, have you had sort of response from people who've sort of said, yeah, I know what you mean, you've really helped me see where I'm going wrong, or something like that?
Yeah, the response, exactly. Well, more than where I'm going wrong, the response I've gotten the most is from founders saying this is the word that I hear a lot is honesty. And that it takes a lot of courage to do something like this. But I like the word honesty because they feel the honesty because they are, what they're reading is true for themselves. And there is one thing that I did not expect, because yes, this book is about my story with a company that didn't work out, that I ended up having to close down. So initially, the book was written again for founders who were expecting many more challenges than they expected, founders who encountered many more challenges than they expected, and most likely ultimately they were not successful. But what has been very surprising for me is that successful founders, which I have a lot of friends that are successful founders, they've read this book and they relate as much. And I think it's because the common element, even beyond success or not success, is the journey. And successful founders, more often than not, they've had the success because they earned it. They earned it overcoming extremely difficult situations. So again, they were able to relate to this book as much as anyone, and I did not expect this.
Right. Well, one of the things when I sort of done some talks and stuff on writing and that, one of the things, you know, people say, well, what advice can you give? And one of the things I always tell them is, you know, have faith in yourself. You know, you follow your heart, you know, and yes, there might be an outcome, it might not get anywhere, but you've got to have faith in yourself. Did you sort of come across that, you know, that life first,
all
business second? Yeah.
Yeah, all the time. I think you need to have faith at every step of the way. You need to have faith in yourself when you're starting a company. You need to have a lot of faith. You need to have faith in the middle of the process, because all these challenges that you had never thought about are coming up. So you need to have faith in yourself that you're going to be able to overcome whatever it takes. And one third time, you need to have faith in yourself when you are putting to sleep, let's call it a project, a company, a business in which you've been working years of your life. Because it's always easier to kick the can, let's say, one more time and one more time than face a really hard situation, a really hard truth, which is that this is not working. And we have all heard the stories that of these people that quit one day before they were about to become successful, right? We live in this fantasy. So it takes a lot. So when I closed the company, it took a lot of faith, because at that point I felt that instead of making decisions based on what was best for a company, the company that wasn't working, I think for the first time I started making decisions on what was best for me. And it was just a life that I didn't want to continue having. I had already run out of my savings, a loan, and I had to take another loan, and I thought, this is not what I want for myself. So it takes a lot of, again, honesty and courage as well to finish something without really knowing what's next for you.
In your book, Crash Course, one of the things I know you is that your experience led you to a spiritual path. And you do mention that in the book. Mm-hmm. Can you share with us, something of what you've learned along that line?
Yes. So I think I was already on the path for I had been there on a path to pretty much to know who we are and to understand why we feel how we feel. Usually people have this inclination to examine and question themselves or their lives when they encounter a huge challenge because of a loss of a family one, or a bankruptcy, or a really bad illness. If your life goes back to normal, then you don't question it. But when you are not living, the happy life or the life that you're supposed to be, that you imagine for yourself, that's when you question things. And an important part for me of the emotional journey, of the spiritual journey, was to understand how I was feeling, why the anxiety, why had I been paralyzed so often, and it took me to a 6-month meditation retreat soon after I closed the company, mm-hmm. 6-month meditation retreat in Uruguay. In which some of the lessons, some of the thoughts that I share in the book come from that time as well.
Okay. One of the things that perhaps, and I think I'm sure you bring it up in your book, yeah. is getting stuff in order. Sort of information like, what do the customers really want? What are they willing to pay? And sort of chronologically working through the important stuff first, not sort of getting carried away in the whole, wave of trying to get it done. Is that something you bring out and share with the people who read the book?
Well, what I bring, since I don't have an answer for that, because I think that's a very one fundamental question and two, very specific to each company, I shared what I did, and what I did not work in that sense because we weren't able to get the traction that we were looking for. So you can what I share is my reasoning, and then readers can decide, well, this makes sense to me, this doesn't make sense, well, he got these results, maybe I could have some other results. So I don't have a formula, and often I tell entrepreneurs, I would love for you to, when you read the book, I'd love to hear where your experience was similar to mine, because I'm sure there's lots of places in which you are going to feel very identified, and I'd also like to know where your experience is different. So again, I don't have the final answer to that, but this is the question that I ponder through many chapters. Like, how do you solve for that?
Right.
And that's something that I wasn't able. So probably part of the inspiration of the book. So I wasn't able to show for that, let's say, for the company, but in a way with courage and honesty and I guess taking calculated risks, I was able to solve for that in a bigger picture for myself.
In the book, and now you've written the book, and obviously you talked about it and followed up like you're doing now today. What have you sort of come to grips with that was your number one mistake that you made? What would you say that was?
The number one mistake that I went all in for an idea that but I haven't validated. I built global logistics for a company without having a customer. That is something that I would not recommend.
Now you've got the book out. What sort of response have you received from it?
Yeah, like I said, so I am blown away by readers who share screenshots or of their ones when they got the book. But I think it's even more fun when they highlight the book and they send it to me or they post it on social media on LinkedIn. Very often I'm getting unexpected reviews. And so the response, it's what I was telling you and what I felt. What I felt made the book different. The word that I get is like the words, the reviews that I get are like honesty, a true story, something different. I like how another friend said that she really enjoyed having a companionship book, because again, my original idea wasn't so much to inspire, it was more to give company to founders. So. For them to have their warm blanket.
Right.
There's books about the company, and there's books that are going to tell you how to build a company. So you can have those, but at the same time, let's have this book just for you. So you go to bed, and then you feel more understood. You feel a little bit more clear. You feel like you have some tools, and you feel like you are more important than your startup, which very often you will forget about.
Right, I think as we were sort of talking about at the beginning about the book, it's something that hasn't been to look at starting your own business or what have you from that sort of angle, from your angle. It's always been the Cinderella type thing. You woke up in the morning and there's your glass slipper and that's it. I mean, you're talking about from the other side. From the dark side, so to speak, and I think that's what a lot of people, I'm sure, are finding with your book. I know in Crash Course you talk about the sort of number of disappointments that you experience. Has that helped you in your normal life? Has that something that you've been able to look at and say, hey, this isn't just the business that's a bit like this. This is how life is. I need to look at me, not just as a failed business person.
Well, exactly. That's one of the, so mixing this with spirituality, this is one of the biggest, I guess, lessons in spirituality. When we stop, I guess, blaming the world and start taking a look at ourselves and being responsible and accountable and honest with ourselves. So I'll share the story. I tried for years to get a meeting with the owner of a toy store in Austin. Mm-hmm. So lots of my friends have kids and they told me, you need to be in this store. After years, I was finally able to get this meeting with her. I prepared for the meeting. I went to the meeting and when I went to pull out the toys from the bag, the owner of the store told me, no need for that. And I said, well, what do you mean? And she said, I don't need to see them. And I said, but how come? And she said, I saw them on the website. They are too branded and they are too colorful. And that's how it went. So, yeah, there's a part of me in which I can go home and think, what a jerk, what a lack of consideration. But if I, all I do is, let's say, criticize her or judge her, there's no growth for me. So I need to develop a sensitivity to see in both ways. Once, what could I have done differently? But also, how do I feel? Because when we experience rejection, we feel something. And it's more important to get in tune with how we really feel than just, let's say, criticize the outside. That's really the journey, to use every experience to connect deeper with yourself.
Indeed so. Well, it's been absolutely great chatting to you, Ricardo. I've learned a lot, and I'm sure a lot of people who've not just listening to the show, but have read the book, have really learned a lot. But time's beating us. So what I'm going to do now, Ricardo, is hand the show over to you so you can tell everybody where people can find more about you and, of course, your book.
Sure. Yeah, I'd love to hear about your audience. The book is on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and Simon & Schuster. And I would love for them to find a platform that works better for them and consider reading it if this topic of the human aspect of entrepreneurship resonates to them. And they can also find those links in my website, which is Ricardo Jimenez, J-I-M-E-N-E-Z, so Ricardo Jimenez H, with an H, ricardojimenezh.com.
Okay, well, Ricardo, thank you so much for being a guest. It's been great chatting to you, and good luck with the book.
Well, thank you very much, Barry, for having me in your show, and I look forward to staying in touch.
Thank you. Well, there you go. My guest today, Ricardo Jimenez, R-E-R-I-C-A-R-D-O and J-I-M-E-N, E-Z, or Z as I would call it, and we're talking about his book, Crash Course, A Founder's Journey on Saving Your Startup and Sanity, and it came out June 18th, so interesting stuff, and I'm sure it's interesting to a lot of people out there. I found it interesting. I know it makes such a change from hearing the, oh, well, I did it this way, and this is the 10 things to do that you should have done. But that was really good. Anyway, well, that's it for this week. I will be back on Sunday between 5 and 6 p.m. Eastern with Those Were the Days, music from the 20th century. And the theme this week, I can tell you about it because I've been working on it. It's Beatles songs that were either given or were hits for other people. Think about it. And then, of course, after that, between 6 and 7 p.m. Eastern, we have the Swinging 60s, music from the 60s from around the world, not just the British invasion or anything like that. And then, of course, next Tuesday and Wednesday, I'll be back with a couple more guests here on A Book and a Chat. But until then, as always, I have one thing left to say. Don't forget.
Blow away the cobwebs and stop yawning. A little cup and sorcery is magic in our morning. In the afternoon or in the evening too. Cheese yourself up, pour yourself a cup. Tickety boo. Tickety boo. Isn't that nice? All a cup of tea that makes you feel good twice. One.